Good to see you. It's great to be back, and we will start our service with number 635, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. 635. Please be seated. Want to welcome everyone to the service of worship today. It's good to be back, and it was a wonderful holiday seeing the mountains, the oceans, Vancouver, Victoria, and more. Now, many of you have read my sad news on Thursday saying Iona Kelly has died. Visitation is at Smith's Funeral Home on Guelph Line on Monday from 6 to 9. And please note the service is also at Smith's on Guelph Line on Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And there's an hour of visiting prior to the service. So visiting from 12 to 1 with the service at 1. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family at missing a wonderful wife and mom, and please come out and show Applebee's support to Jack at this difficult time. There are other announcements in the bulletin. I'll just draw your attention to the Vacation Bible School starts on the 12th. It's not this week as is listed. Now, the training is on Saturday at 10 o'clock, which I think is the 10th. But there are some items listed in the bulletin that are needed for crafts and games and other things. So if you have some, please bring them either to church sometime this week or in the morning from 9 till noon or next Sunday. And the One Burlington Celebrating Faith and Culture event is on Monday from noon to 4 o'clock at Central Park. It's a great way to know some of your neighbors in Burlington. There's free food, information booth, children's activities, indigenous drumming, a cappella singing, and more. And it's a great way to witness that people of different faiths and cultures and backgrounds can come together, live together, and play together. So please come on out and show your support. If you want some lemonade on the lawn, come on out after church, and our thanks to those who signed up to provide this cool, refreshing drink on hot days. It's wonderful. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family this morning? Yes, I was. Thank you for reminding me to tell everyone. So keep Jill Attic and family and friends in thoughts and prayers. It was Godfrey Cameron, I think. So. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. Let us acknowledge God's presence in another way through the words and prayers in the bulletin. Come, neighbors and strangers, those who need a helping hand,
and those who have something to offer.
Whether your faith is weak or strong, and let us worship God together. Let us pray. God of love and compassion, you call us to be people of compassion too, to experience in our living the lives of others, to laugh with joys and cry with sorrows.
In this time of worship, speak to us again in your words of love.
Remind us again of what it means to be a neighbor. We pray in the name of Jesus, the ultimate neighbor. Amen. Our next hymn is 570. Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands, number 570. Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all, healing pain and sickness, blessing children small, washing tired feet and saving those who fall. Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all. Take my hands, O Jesus, let them work for you. Make them strong and gentle, kind in all I do. Let me watch you, Jesus, till I'm gentle too. Till my hands are kind hands, quick to work for you. Please be seated. Let us take a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry. Let us pray. God of grace, when we hear prophets calling us to measure up and we turn away, when we see our neighbors in need and turn away, when we assume we are too busy or too important to get involved, when we try to discredit prophetic voices so that we can ignore them, when we fail to measure up to being your people. Take a moment to think about how you can help your neighbor, the ones on your street and the ones you read about in the newspaper. Amen. For me, this is the best part of the service, the assurance of God's never-ending love for us. Hear this good news from the letter to the Colossians. We share in the promises God made to all people. God forgives us and sets us free to live new lives. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today is from the prophet Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. I forgot to mark these ahead of time, as you can notice. Come on, you're in here somewhere. There you are. There's a group of 12 minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament. They're all very, very short, so therefore you can skip over them very, very easily. Amos is talking, I believe, to the northern kingdom of Israel, and you need to remember that prior to Babylon, it was a time of prosperity. And the prophets were often reminding the kings and business people that God calls you to remember those at the bottom. And at times in Israel's history, that was forgotten. And God called them to do that because God came to them when they were at the bottom, when they were slaves in Egypt. A vision of a basket of fruit and Israel's doom. I had another vision from the sovereign Lord. In it I saw a basket of fruit. The Lord asked, Amos, what do you see? A basket of fruit, I answered. The Lord said to me, the end has come for my people Israel. I will not change my mind again about punishing them. On that day the songs in the palace will become cries of mourning, and there will be dead bodies everywhere. They will be cast out in silence. Listen to this, you that trample on the needy and try to destroy the poor of the country. You say to yourselves, we can hardly wait for the holy days to be over so we can sell our grain. When will the Sabbath end so that we can start selling again? Then we can overcharge, use false measures, and fix the scales to cheat our customers. We can sell worthless wheat at a high price. We'll find someone poor who can't pay his debts, not even the price of a pair of sandals, and we'll buy him as a slave. The Lord God of Israel has sworn, I will never forget their evil deeds, and so the earth will quake and everyone in the land will be in distress. The whole country will be shaken. It will rise and fall like the Nile River. The time is coming when I'll make the sun go down at noon and the earth grow dark in daytime. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. I will turn your festivals into funerals and change your glad songs into cries of grief. I will make you shave your heads and wear sackcloth, and you will be like parents mourning for their only child. That day will be bitter to the end. The time is coming when I will send famine on the land. People will be hungry, but not for bread. They will be thirsty, but not for water. They will hunger and thirst for a message from the Lord. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. And our gospel lesson is the familiar story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to receive eternal life?" And Jesus answered him, "What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself." "You are right," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him up, leaving him half dead. It so happened a priest was going down the road, but when he saw the man, he walked on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came and went over and looked at the man and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity." It can also be translated compassion. "And he went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Take care of him,' he told the innkeeper, 'and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him.'" And Jesus concluded, "In your opinion, which of these three acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by robbers?" The teacher of the law answered, "The one who was kind to him." Jesus replied, "You go then and do the same." Thanks be to God for these words.
Let us pray.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever been on a road trip? Anybody? Thank you. As you know, Margo and I have just completed one from Calgary to Vancouver and back. How many of you have at least one road trip or vacation in your mind that you liked? That you had a good time, that you remember? Wonderful. Awesome. I am Alan Ward, and today's message is Paying It Forward, Being Transformed by God's Love. And I want to thank you for gathering together today to worship God. Certainly in the summer, it gets hot, and the air conditioning is so tempting. Today, you will learn a modern-day parallel of the story of the Good Samaritan, and you will hear 2 modern-day examples of what the prophet Amos was describing in his day and age. So can I tell you a little bit about our trip this morning, or my story? Thank you. This road trip was with very good friends, Rosalind and Jan. Margo and I have known Rosalind since my first pastoral charge in Doaktown, New Brunswick. She and a Joyce Matheson were in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and we were part of a theater, New Brunswick group. That was 30 years ago, unfortunately. Well, Rosalind bought a new car last year, a Honda CR-V, small SUV. It had a panoramic sunroof, which was awesome for going through the mountains, right? You can look up and see them in all their grandeur. Now, like most vehicles these days, Rosalind's car has a GPS in it. So it's kind of hard to get lost with a GPS, wouldn't you agree? I can tell by your reaction you know what's coming. Now, any guesses what Rosalind called her GPS? You're going to love this. She called her GPS Sexy Jean. Now, do you want to know why she called her GPS Sexy Jean? When she first got the car, she was trying to get used to this and get the car to recognize her voice. So she typed in going to St. James United Church in Calgary. And obviously, she knew how to get there. She's lived there for over 10 years. So upon arriving, the GPS announced, "We are arriving at Sexy Jean United Church." She thought, well, maybe this will be better than I thought. No, I'm kidding. And it's because of that, when any of her electronic devices go haywire, she goes, well, they must be friends with Sexy Jean. So Sexy Jean got us to most places where we wanted to go, but we won't mention the couple of times that she has attitude. And unfortunately, once was in Vancouver, but fortunately, Jan lived in Vancouver and kind of knew how to get around. So today, I want to ask you, when you have ever been on a trip, and maybe you've been stranded by the side of the road or been lost, it could be on the highway, an airport, a train station, things did not go as planned. You know, maybe it was the GPS that didn't cooperate. You were stranded, lost. What happened? How did you get back on the road again or back home? Were there any angels unaware who came to your rescue? So anyway, share a story with someone around you or just think of a time when you were on such a trip. You can continue those stories out on the lawn. I think most of us have interesting getting lost or mishap stories on holidays. Now, when you look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, it is really hard not to let it become a cliche for helping others in need. We have heard it so many times. James Wallace, in a commentary, says this parable goes way beyond offering kindness to strangers, but rather is a story for people who realize they're on a journey in life. And not just from womb to tomb, but from birth to rebirth, from partial life to abundant life, or life in its fullness. Now, Jesus' listeners would have been very well aware of why the priest and the Levite moved to the other side of the road. They were probably on their way to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. And touching a dead body would make you ritually unclean, and you would have to go back home and start the process all over again. And I can sympathize a little with the priest and the Levite. I mean, who wants to touch a dead body? Remember, he was, you know, looked dead. You know, especially one you do not know. A person who's probably swollen, black and blue, and bloody from being beaten. I don't know about you, but it would kind of give me the creeps. But the Samaritan does not move to the other side of the road out of fear, but rather is moved by compassion. By what? Thank you. Compassion for the victim. Now, the first thing he would have to do, like modern day paramedics, I believe, is find out if the person is already dead or not. If you remember that first aid course here at the church, probably 2 years ago, you know, you put your head down by the person's mouth to see to check for breathing. What was the first question the teacher of the law asked Jesus? Do you remember the first question? Thank you. That's the second question. Who is my neighbor? The first question, what must I do to receive? Thank you. Eternal life. To love God is to love your neighbor is to love God. It's God. And this ongoing flow of love is almost like a circle and allows eternal life to begin even now, as the parable confirms. Life is not womb to tomb, end of life issue, eternal life. This Samaritan has already received eternal life, and he is living it right here and now by helping this person by the side of the road, by being moved by compassion and being transformed by compassion. James Wallace goes on and talks about a more recent Good Samaritan story that points out this parable is more about the transformation of our hearts than simply doing a good deed. A few years back, a 12-year-old Palestinian boy named Ahmad Kehibab was shot and killed by Israeli soldiers during street fighting near his house in Jenin on the West Bank. He was playing with a toy gun. He was taken to an Israeli hospital where he died after 2 days. His parents were asked and then said yes to allowing his organs to be harvested for transplant to children in need. And they were all Israeli children. Think about that for a moment. An Israeli soldier, and I'm positive afterwards he was shocked and heartbroken, killed my child, and now I'm going to offer my child's organs so 6 other young Israeli children can live and possibly grow up and kill my grandchildren. Think about that for a moment. And his mother, Abla, said, "My son has died. Maybe he can give life to others." As James said, these parents made their own journey into the compassion of God and were living eternal life. Now, I'm sure some of you may be asking why I read that passage from Amos today. It is pretty, depressing. It's not very nice or hopeful. But the book of Amos reminds us that God's justice and kindness or God's compassion involves more than individual acts and also includes challenging and changing economic systems that impoverish people. "Listen to this, you that trample on the needy and tried to destroy the poor of the country. You say to yourselves, 'We can hardly wait for the Sabbath to end so we can start selling again. Then we can overcharge, use false measures, and fix the scales to cheat our customers.'" Remember Weston, the bread, Loblaws, getting your cards back, $25? A challenging question for us today might be, who are the people left by the side of the road today? Any thoughts? Who do you think is left by the side of the road today? Refugees. Thank you. Anyone else?
Kids whose families can't afford a university education.
If you can't afford a university education, actually, absolutely. Mentally ill who are homeless? Absolutely.
Mentally challenged,
absolutely. There's plenty. Well, we were in Vancouver, we saw more than enough street people in downtown Vancouver, let me tell you. Unemployed.
people who are unemployed. Wow. Did any of you see the picture of the 25-year-old El Salvador father and his 2-year-old daughter who were lying face down at the edge of the Rio Grande River after they tried to cross the end of June? Wasn't that just heartbreaking? When I read it, the father took the daughter to the other side, and then he went back to help his wife, and the daughter chased after her dad, and so he went back in to rescue her, lost his footing, and you know the end of the story. I enjoyed reading the article where the president of El Salvador announced, "We can say President Trump's policies are wrong. We can say Mexico's policies are wrong. Oscar and his daughter Valera fled our country. It is our fault. We haven't been able to provide anything, not a decent job, not a decent school. What if this little girl would have had a decent school here? Decent healthcare system for her and her family, a decent house with a water supply, and a job for her parents." Salvadorian President Bukele did go on to say he still condemns the treatment of migrants in the U.S. and Mexico, but kept emphasizing that El Salvador had to, quote, focus on making our country better, making our country a place where no one has to migrate. I believe the prophet Amos would have enjoyed having a conversation with President Bukele about the unjust weights and measures in economic agreements that often are tilted against less developed countries. Now, has anyone here been watching and listening to the Democratic presidential debates or commentary on the debates that ceaselessly are going on? Okay, thank you. Trevor Noah had presidential candidate Andrew Yang on the other night, and he, like Amos, is being called the doomsday candidate. Can't imagine going far when you're called the doomsday candidate, right? I mean, Andrew is from the Silicon Valley, okay? He's great at math. He started a company, other things. Do you know what the acronym MATH he's changed into? Make America Think Harder. Kind of interesting. Make America Think Harder. Well, he says, remember, he's from the Silicon Valley, if we do not do something about robots and artificial intelligence, it is over for human beings. Sounds like a sci-fi movie, doesn't it? Here's some statistic. There are currently 16.9 million Americans out of work. In the coming years, that's a lot of people, guess how many more are going to lose their jobs? Any guesses? What? 20 million, thank you. 100 million. Going once? Going twice? Try 46.2 million more will lose their jobs. No, in the coming years. Okay, maybe in the next 5 years. Why? Do you know what they're going to lose their jobs to? Thank you. Robots, automations, artificial intelligence, call centers will be, you know, people will be replaced by, you know, computers. Did you know that the retail workers are the number one job in the United States? Number one job. Who's replacing them? Have you ever heard of Amazon? Anyone here heard of Amazon? Shopping online. Amazon is currently closing 30% of American stores and malls. Any idea how much Amazon pays in taxes? Bingo, zero. Think of the billions of dollars they make. They pay no taxes. Andrew Yang is proposing to set up a system where American people get their fair share of every Amazon sale, Google search, truck robot mile, putting $1,000 a month in the hands of every American so American people feel they are benefiting from all this progress and innovation. You did hear truck robot mile, right? Okay. Did you know that in 29 states, truck driving is the number one job? 29 states. Staggering. So Trevor asked, who is going to pay for this? And aren't people just going to become lazy, non-productive, if you just hand them a check? Well, Andrew is promising that a very, very small tax on every artificial intelligence interaction be collected. And from his studies of people or places that have tried guaranteed annual income, only two groups of people work less. Any guesses? It's a lottery on who those two groups of people are that work less with a guaranteed annual income. New mothers, so they can stay at home and look after their children. Older teens and those like in early 20s, so they can stay in school longer and graduate at a higher level than they did before. Don't you think both of those sound like good things? You know, and nothing personal. Have you tried to live on $1,000 a month? Okay. You're still motivated to do more. Now, while a guaranteed annual income sounds like something new, remember it was started here in Ontario, a test pilot project. Did you know that it was talked about 50 years ago? That Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about it in 1967. That blew me away when I learned that. He says, you want a solution to poverty? Guaranteed annual income. Another thing I was surprised at is that Facebook CEO Chairman Mark Zuckerberg has showed support for the idea at the 2017 convocation at Harvard University, where he was the guest speaker. The prophet Amos would be very pleased that public leaders and business leaders were addressing the needs of the needy and finding ways to help pull up the poor of the country rather than pushing them farther down. To love God is to love neighbor, is to love God. And this ongoing flow of eternal life, of love, allows eternal life to begin even now, as the parable of the Good Samaritan confirms. This parable is so much about so much more than simply being a helpful stranger. It is a story of transformation for travelers on the road. Travelers who are making their own journey into the compassion of God right here and right now. Remember that GPS I talked about earlier? The one that helped us travel through the Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, and more. Well, one author suggests that the parable of the Good Samaritan is a scriptural GPS for travelers on the road of life, routing them in the only direction that God desires, the way of love and compassion for others. Thanks be to God. Amen. And our next hymn, and I believe this was one that was out of that Green United Church book. It's number 691, Though Ancient Walls May Still Stand Proud, number 691.
Thank you.
Though ancient walls may still stand proud and racial strife be fact, though boundaries may be lines of hate, proclaim God's saving act. Walls that divide are broken down. Christ is our unity. Chains that enslave are thrown aside. Christ is our liberty. When vested power stands firm entrenched and breaks another's back, when waste and want live side by side, it's possible that we lack. Walls that divide are broken down. Christ is our that enslave our throne aside. Christ is our liberty. The truth we seek in buried schemes, the life that we pursue, unites us in a common quest for self and world made new. Walls that divide are broken down. Christ is our unity. Chains that enslave are thrown aside. Christ is our and God thanks you for your support. We'll now have our morning's offering, and it's great to see people getting up. So thank you. pray. God of grace and compassion, may our gifts enable your church to be a place where strangers become friends, outcasts are welcome, seekers receive, and doubters find faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you this morning remembering some of the travels we have been on. Trips to the East Coast, trips to the West Coast, trips to Europe, and countries farther afield. We think of times we have been lost and asked a stranger for direction. We think of times when we have seen others broken down on the side of the road. We think of times when we have offered directions to others. We think of the beauty of your creation, O God, that we have seen. Mountains and rivers, magnificent trees, one of which was living at the time of Jesus just many, many miles away. Things that affirm our belief in you and your world, your mystery, wonder, and awe. And then we see people living on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria, poverty on the back roads of Nanaimo, and then wonder at the complexities of our world and how we as individuals and a society can better help those who have been left by the side of the road. Traveling, we often hear a diversity of languages and see diversity of symbols. In Vancouver, hearing more Chinese and Asian dialects, seeing the last spike and thinking of the contributions of Chinese labor in completing the Trans-Canada Railroad and their help in uniting our country from sea to shining sea. Seeing totem poles and thinking of Indigenous people and the gifts they brought to our ancestors to help them survive the cold and harsh winters. We are diverse people as a country and as a world, O God. We pray for your blessing on the One Burlington Celebrating Faith and Culture event tomorrow that might help us to see that we are neighbors all created in your image, all given various gifts and cultures and songs and dance and foods to bless the world that you have made. Please help us to mend your bruised and broken world, O God. This we ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to vision a better world together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is from More Voices, which is the soft-covered hymn book number 28, God of the Bible. And there it is. Thank you. That's wonderful. Number 28, God of the Bible.
Sunrise, God always faithful, you know.
apart. Still you empower us, mothering spirit, feeding, sustaining from your heart. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Those without status, those who are nothing, you have made royal, gifted with rights, chosen as partners, midwives of justice, birthing new systems, lighting new lives. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Not by your anger will our world order change in a day, but by your people, fearless and faithful, small paper lanterns lighting the way. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Hope we must carry, shining and certain, through all our turmoil, terror and loss, bounding us gladly, one to another, till our world changes, facing the cross. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the please look on the screen or in your bulletin for your commissioning and benediction. Go from this gathering to meet your neighbor with open hands and open heart, giving and receiving the goodness of God's love. And love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Amen.